This is the 40th consecutive year that I've had the great honor and the humble privilege of standing before the high school graduates in my church and delivering a baccalaureate address. 40 years, which essentially says I'm pretty old. But I hope it says there's something I want you to hear. There's some words of wisdom that I would like to share. In fact, the words that I want to share with you today may be the most important words I have ever shared in 40 years. I told our graduates a few minutes ago when we were downstairs that the whole purpose of this service today is to let them know how much their church loves them, that we are proud of you and all of your accomplishments, that we will pray for you as you embark on one of the most exciting adventures in life, as you go to college, and wherever you go, and as Dr. Seuss said, oh, the places you will go, wherever you go, we want you to know that this will always be your home. You're very special to me because I have known almost all of you from the day you were born. I remember your parents standing here at the front of the church and holding a little baby for baby dedication. I remember you as little children coming down here for the children's times, the most unpredictable part of the worship service. I remember being with you in Vacation Bible School, going to Passport, Belize, and walking with you up these stairs to the cleansing waters of baptism. All of you have been so blessed. You come from wonderful, loving families who have given you every opportunity that you could possibly desire. Each one of you, all nine of you, are going to great colleges and universities to continue your education. And you all are so very special and so very gifted in different and unique ways. Jillian, I keep looking for that shy little girl that I never could get to speak to me. Because when you were small, you were so shy and so reserved. And then one day I looked up and here you were standing addressing the whole congregation, reading scripture, a leader in the church, a leader with the youth. I have watched you at Passport and in Belize. And I have seen your commitment and your dedication in giving everything that you have to touch the lives of precious children. Knowing that it is when we reach out and touch the least of these, we're doing that for Jesus. And I have admired your selfless attitude, your commitment to God, as you have become the person that you are today. And Will, you've always been reserved and shy, but you know when you walk out on that basketball court, when you walk on that baseball field, when you take the pitcher's mound, you come alive. You're not only following the legacy of your father and your grandfather, but you're learning what it means to be a team player. You're learning the basic essentials for life. Because it's in athletics that we understand that we can't fly solo, that we have to play together as a team. There's a great synergy of our gifts and our abilities and our talents. And when you come up to the plate and you're called upon to sacrifice so that one of your teammates can advance, you're learning one of the greatest principles of life, that God has called us to be a family and a community and to work together. And Brett, another quiet, reserved young man, but I've seen you out on that football field. in total control, leading your team for the winning touchdown late in the fourth quarter. But you know, when I see you, the thing that stands out more than anything else is here you are, a star quarterback on the football team, but yet you've never stood any taller than when you're playing with those children at Vacation Bible School, and you're kneeling down, letting them play with you, being a role model and a mentor. And you are fulfilling what Jesus said when he took a child. And he said, there's no one more important than our children. And I've seen you with a servant's heart being that great example. I also remember the day, you remember when I got you to hold up that fire box? You remember those old historic fire boxes we had around town? They only weigh a ton. And here I am trying to carry it around like this, and I asked Brett to hold it. He holds it up for the congregation to see. I remember that too. And Meredith, when I see you, I picture you dressed in that white robe on Easter Sunday. You remember? It was Easter, with Alleluia bells ringing. And the joyful singers were singing. They sang right before your baptism. And we went together upstairs, and on Easter Sunday, we celebrated your baptism. Your faith was sealed that day. And it is your faith that will always define you. The world tries to define us. Our friends try to define us. Everyone else tries to mold who we are, but on the day of your baptism, that's your DNA. That's who you really are. You are a child of God. Casey, never one to be shy. I remember you at Passport. I remember how dedicated you were and in Belize. But when I see Casey, I see a little girl organizing a big yard sale. And I mean a big yard sale. I remember Casey called me and said, could we use the church? And I thought maybe she just needed a little room or something like that. And let me tell you, we're talking about a big yard sale. And she was doing that because all of the proceeds went to help the children at Camp Kiwanis, a camp that was founded by your great grandfather. You're carrying on that great legacy of reaching out to those who are less fortunate, of always giving and always serving. And Lily, again, never one to be shy. You've just grown up too fast, all of you have. I see you working with those children in Belize, being so patient, being so kind. I see you with your beautiful voice, singing with the high school chorus, also a great volleyball player, I might add. But Lily, when I see you, I can't help but think about a little 8-year-old girl sitting right here on this pew when your grandfather died unexpectedly. And then just a few years later, when your Uncle Chad died. You have lost some of the most significant people in your life, but you've dealt with it in a wonderful, redemptive way. The project that you had for the hospice house was a way of healing, a way of reaching out, of dealing with our grief, making a difference in the lives of others. And Andy, again, you've never been shy a day in your life. I remember when you wanted to get baptized and we tried to talk Charlie into it, but it didn't matter. You were going ahead, and Charlie finally did get baptized, by the way. I remember you coming up to me at Passport saying, you know, we go off to Passport and we go to Belize and we do all these mission things. Why don't we do them in Lexington? And that's exactly what we did. You became the leader. You're the one making a difference, not only on the soccer field and on the basketball court, but a leader among our young people, telling us that missions is not something you have to go overseas to accomplish, but missions begins right here at home. It was your commitment, your leadership that made it happen. And Grayson, are you dreading this? Yeah. Grayson, you probably think I'm going to tell about the first year you went to Passport. Should I tell that story? No? Okay. We won't go there. We won't tell about that talent show where the whole auditorium was just going crazy and the little girls were throwing stuff up on the stage. We won't mention that. But I was going to tell it. But Grayson, what I remember more than anything else about you was one day in Belize. You had collected all of these items, these games and balls and things like that for some little girls at an orphanage in Belize. And we went and delivered those, and I have never experienced such a powerful moment of gratitude when these little girls, many of those children had been abused. They had experienced things in life that we hope our children will never even know about. They came up, they hugged Grayson. They were so appreciative. And I remember the difference that it made for you, for all of us, because that's what it's all about. And that leaves Sam. Sam, you probably think I'm going to tell some stories about children's time when you were growing up. Because to be honest with you, children's time just hasn't been the same since you grew out of it. Sam would always have an observation. He would always have a question. But the best one was I had my little nativity set. And I was telling the kids, you know, we went through the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And my little star on top of the stable was loose. And I said something about I needed to get that fixed. And Sam said, Ray, you realize if the star is actually that close, they would all be disintegrated. And because he went on to describe the star and how much power it had and like a... Thank you, Sam. We all feel better after we know that now. But I want to tell you what I remember about you. I remember that time we were at Passport. I remember your compassion. Always looking out for someone who might be left out. And there was a church at Passport. A big deal at Passport is the volleyball tournament. But there was one church, they didn't have enough kids to play in the tournament. And so Sam volunteered to play for that church. And so when we went out to play, I looked on the other top, on the other team, on the other side, and there was Sam. Sam, that was a great, great thing for you to do. You're all special, each and every one of you. But I have something... just one thing really to share with you. And it begins with a memory of my sixth grade graduation, which somehow stands out in my mind more than any other graduation. It actually all started on the first day of the fifth grade. Fifth grade started, and our teacher, Miss Thompson, who was, well, she was pretty ancient, but Miss Thompson, that first day, we were all there, all the little boys and girls, and she said, now, boys and girls, this is going to be an exciting year of discovery. She said, for example, she said, if you took a pound of nails and you took a pound of feathers and you dropped them out of this window, and we were like up on the second floor. I mean, it was a long way down. She said, if we dropped them out of this window, which one would hit the ground first? Well, we immediately said, well, the nails. And then somebody said, no, wait a minute. She said a pound of feathers. You're talking a pound and a pound. And we started talking about it. We started debating it. And Mrs. Thompson got attention. She said, now, boys and girls, that is just one of the many exciting experiments that we will conduct this year and one of the many great things that you will learn. I literally ran home from school. I was so excited. I told my mom and dad, it's going to be the greatest year ever. We never conducted a single experiment in that class. It was like Miss Thompson totally forgot about it. I came to school every day thinking maybe today's the day we're going to learn about the feathers, but it never happened. And then, actually some people were complaining about Miss Thompson. Sam, I keep looking at you because if anybody can answer that question, you can. Now, you just keep working on that. The day after fifth grade, Miss Thompson died. I mean, she was gone. And then we really felt guilty. Our parents said, well, no wonder she didn't do experiments. The poor lady was sick. And then we really felt bad. Sixth grade graduation, the next year. We marched into the old auditorium. It was an old school auditorium, and it had a sloping floor with these theater-type seats with the iron, the wooden seats and the iron bases and all of that. And we sang, climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow till you find your dream. And our old principal, Mr. Gilbert, stood up there in all of his glory, and he said, boys and girls, you were Miss Thompson's last class. You heard her final words. And I was thinking, oh my goodness. He was commissioning us. He said, because of what Miss Thompson taught you, you need to climb every mountain and ford every stream. And I sat there thinking, how can we do this if we don't know the answer to the question? If you took a pound of nails and how are we going to be equipped to do this? Well, I tell you something I've learned along the way. We don't have to climb every mountain. There are some mountains that simply are not worth climbing. There are some mountains that you need to let somebody else climb. But there are some mountains that we must climb. And this is the mountain. The scripture that Kyle read for us simply says this. How can we love God if we hate our neighbor? If we love God, God is love, then we should love our neighbor. That is a mountain that we desperately need to climb. Just in this past week, there were two girls on a train in Portland, Oregon. Did you hear about that? One was a Muslim. Some guy started shouting racial slurs at those two girls, and two men who came to their defense were killed. Just this past week at the African American Museum, the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, they found a hangman's noose. Somebody even spray painted a racial epithet on LeBron James' front gate. Who's going to pick with LeBron, of all people? We live in a world in which we must learn to love one another and to respect one another. Especially those people who are different. Just last night in London, there was another terrorist attack. It's all about hatred, about intolerance, about discrimination. What I want to share with you and leave with you is the greatest mountain for your generation to climb is the mountain of hatred. We must climb it. We must get over it. We must destroy it. We must conquer it because love is greater than hate. Light is greater than the darkness. And God is greater than all the forces of evil. God bless you on your journey.